right, go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles, will be in chapter 5. And looking at that in just a second, I want to address the elephant in the room a little bit tonight. And I'm seeing some blue ties here represented. Yes, and so let me just tell you my side of this story. So last night, just getting ready for bed, and my wife announces I have a new tie, an Easter tie for you to wear to church tomorrow. And that's a great gift. I'm excited about it. Dear, that's wonderful. I like ties. I have 1,000 of them, but a new tie. How special. So I didn't really get a good look at it. But this morning as I was getting ready, I went ahead and picked up the tie. And it occurred to me in that moment that I have this tie. Now, I want you to know my husbandly heart tonight. I want to be a good husband. And so, I instead of saying, oh, babe, you got me the same, I just said, I'm just going to, babe, this tie is amazing, So I come to church, and I start meeting a couple people who have the same tie on as I do. And a couple people in, I just think that we were all just thinking the same way this morning. And then I see a couple more people, and then a few more people. And I start connecting with some of these men, and all the ladies are walking around with these gigantic smiles on their faces. And then I realize we've been duped. There was some coordinating behind the scenes. And it is what it is. I guess I had the choice to swap out tonight. I didn't. I love my wife, okay? And trying to be a part of the family, although I don't know if it's a family or a cult. We're all wearing the tie, but... Nonetheless, had to address that. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, that's where we are this evening. I appreciate so much Pastor Jeremy sharing with us the thoughts concerning the resurrection. We're not going to go that direction this evening. And I dare say that the subject that we're going to cover tonight is something that we probably practice a lot more than we actually talk about it. And I think this passage here is a great context for us to discuss the topic this evening, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I want you to look with me at verse 1 so we can grab a little of what is taking place here. You notice what the Bible says, and thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Okay, so this is the dedication of the temple. It's a big moment. And Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated, and the silver... and the gold, and then get this, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. I wonder tonight if we could just pause for a second and ask ourselves the question of what role or significance has music made in our lives personally? You know, as I stop and consider that thought, I grew up in a home that we played music. I enjoyed it. We learned instruments and that sort of thing. We sang. But, as I think about some monumental moments in my life, and maybe yours too, you think about graduation events. Well, most likely there was music there, whether it's pop and circumstance or something like that. And you think about, a wedding. You know, at your wedding, I wonder tonight if we went around the room, could we remember, oh, I had this song sung or that or whatnot. And, I even think about this past week, we had a funeral of a family that used to come to our church years and years ago. And we had music. And, that music plays a part in all of our lives. And sometimes more so, I think, than we realize. Tonight, we see a passage of scripture in which music was pointing in the direction of an amazing event. And I would like to use it tonight to talk specifically about this subject in regards to the treasure of music in the life of a believer. And you'll notice that phrase there as we look at our text. It says here that Solomon moved the instruments and put he among the treasures of the house of the Lord. I pray, Father, that you would give us direction as we study your word tonight. And Lord, help us to, Father, see the benefit, the value, Lord, the blessing of music that you have, Lord, gifted to mankind. I pray, Lord, that music would be used as a tool in our lives to shape us. Lord, to encourage us, to challenge us. Lord, I thank you for how you've used music even today to do that. Lord, in both our Easter service this morning and then in the service this evening, Father, may we see your perspective on the matter. And we'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, and go to verse 11, because this is really where we sort of pick up where music comes into the picture in verse 11. And I want us to notice the production or the producer of music in regards to this situation. Look at verse 11. It says that it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Verse 12. And the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, of being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Verse 13, and it came even to pass that as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and to thanking of the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's just talk for a moment here about the producers of music. And as we look at this passage and we examine here the context, we realize that this was just an amazing event to be part of. I was reading a little bit about Solomon's temple. And if we could just for a moment sort of picture a building that was about the size of an NFL football field. I mean, this was not some small building in which a few people were gathered. No, the Bible says that there was a mass group of people gathered to this place and really celebration of the place that had been built to house God's presence. This was a great moment. And in this moment, we find that the Lord is using some instruments. He's using music. He's using some musicians, if you will. We're told a little bit about them, but they are, in this context, the producer of music. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's kind of zoom out just a little bit, because even though these people were skilled and even though they maybe had taken some time to even write some special music for this event, and we do that today. Brother Brandon's very gifted. He writes music choruses for us, and we use that. But nobody would ascribe these people as having created music, period. No, long before this happened, we see that there is a creator of music. You know, maybe sometimes we've had the thought, well, man just kind of stumbled upon some things and it turned out to be a good thing. Not at all. I think that we see that in God's word. Consider this. We see that the Lord is the ultimate producer or creator of music. Consider this verse. Job 38 and verse 7. Job is speaking with the Lord, and the Lord is trying to show Job who he is, while at the same time reveal who himself is, God himself is. Listen to the verse. God asked Job, where wast thou when the morning stars sang together? He's saying, Job, listen, long before you or there was anybody else, boy, there was some music taking place. We could go to Ezekiel chapter 28 tonight. We won't take the time. Many people believe that Satan in his pre-fallen state was someone who led up music and worship in heaven. So we see that music just didn't happen by chance. Music had a creator. And we see that music was used before the world was created. But I want you to know that music was, in fact, gifted to man. And it's not long after man comes out of the garden that we see the presence of music. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. Listen to this verse. It says, Jubal, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Well, that's an interesting thought. Genesis chapter 4. Now, we're not told the details of how Jubal got to that place where he was proficient in what he did. We're not told whether God talked to Adam and Eve through music and how it works and how you can sing or learn a tune. We're not told any of that, but the fact remains that God gifted music to us. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Scott, this sounds very interesting, but I don't consider myself to be too musical. Maybe you had, you know, a few years of the piccolo and you said, well, I just couldn't take it, you know, and neither could my parents. So we just gave it up. Maybe you say, Brother Scott, you know, when it comes to singing, I make that joyful noise that the Lord wants us to, but maybe I just don't have the voice that maybe some other people do. And that may be the case. But I want you to consider tonight, as the Lord has given us music, He has also made us musical. Let me make the case. Let me share a few verses with you. Notice number one, God gave us ears to enjoy listening to music. Psalm 150 in verse 3 talks about the sound of the trumpet. We see that God gave us a mind that can process music. Although it's not just simply an intellectual experience where we, oh, okay, that's the G chord. Some of those that maybe are more musical in the room could do that. But we have the ability to, as our mind can process what's going on with music. Maybe there'd be some in our midst tonight that even can create music. You've sharpened your skills, you've honed those, and you're at a point where you can, in fact, write music. Well, that's because the Lord made us with some of those abilities. So we have ears to hear. We have a mind that can process it. God gave us voices that can contribute to it. Notice Psalm 94, in that psalm, it says, "All the earth sing." Boy, the Lord's calling all of us. Again, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And you see that theme given throughout the book of Psalms. So whether or not you have sharpened your skills in regards to music, or you're just someone who enjoys listening to it, understand that the Lord created us that way so that we could use it. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But I believe that the Lord created us as musical beings, whether we just like listening or we are, in fact, able to contribute. So we see the production of music here. The Lord created it. It was used before creation. God gifted us with music. But I want you to understand as well that music will be used throughout eternity. See, the Lord used it in the past. Well, He's using it in the present. Boy, it doesn't just stop after the Lord comes back and gets us. Consider the words of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, and they sang a new song. What's the song? Thou art worthy. Boy, I've often considered this moment. Have you thought about this? I mean, it's one thing for 300 people to gather in a room like this, Brother Brandon, on a Sunday morning and to lift our voices, how great thou art. Some harmony out there, the orchestra playing, the instrumentalists. Boy, that's special. Well, I love that. But now imagine just scores of people. Boy, everybody at the same time lifting their voices to the King of Kings. Boy, that's going to be a special event. And that's something that I believe we're going to enjoy throughout eternity. So you say, does God use music? Absolutely, He does. And of course, He is the great orchestrator. We could say the great producer of music. So as we get back to our text here, no one there at the temple that day could take credit for the creation of music because God is the original producer of it. So if we're going to understand the treasure of music, as we've sort of set out to do tonight, we first need to understand that it was God who gave it to us. Would you notice our second point this evening is found in verse 13. I want us to notice the purpose of music. And I believe that we see that here as well. But notice, drop down to verse 13. Notice some of the things it says here. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. It continues on, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals, instruments of music, and praising the Lord, saying, what are they saying? For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Well, there's a purpose to the music that was being used in this moment. And I think those purposes are found in the very words that they were speaking. But I want you to consider tonight that, you know, if we were to sort of step out of the mind of the believer and God's purposes for those of us who know Him, and think about maybe the world's perspective just a little bit. I spent some time online this past week just Googling the purpose of music. And you'll find scores of articles written by all types of musicians that are out there. But you know what I didn't find? I didn't find one person who said music has no purpose. I didn't find that at all. You know, in fact, I found things like, hey, you know, music can be categorized and put into three separate containers. Maybe music is all, it could be ceremonial. It could be inspirational. It could be so there's always a purpose for music. And so music is not neutral in that sense. There's always a purpose. And I think that we can see that here as well. So the question is obviously asked, what is the purpose of music in the life of a believer? And I'm just going to try to keep it simple tonight, because obviously there's a thousand different passageways we could travel down, and we don't have the time for it. But let me give you just two reasons tonight that we can maybe encapsulate the purpose of our music. Notice number one, I believe that music, according to God's word, is given to serve as a conduit for worship to God. And I believe this is first and foremost the purpose of music in the life of a believer. Well, you look at the worship that is taking place around the throne in heaven. And then you look at the musical gift from God as an opportunity to really, to in turn, worship Him. Consider some of the things the Bible talks about in relation to us using music to worship, enter into a worshipful experience with the Lord. Consider Psalm 96 and verse 1. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. God invites us all to sing, no matter who we are. Consider Psalm 89 and verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Our singing ought to continue throughout good times and bad. I love the song, and we sang it here recently, I believe, or somebody did. God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts are around you, when despair is all you see. I love that song. Because it gives us a biblical truth, and that is, no matter when we're feeling victorious and we're having a great day, or we're feeling like, wow, it's just kind of rough and going right now, Lord, the Lord wants us to be in that avenue of worshiping Him. And well, how does it take place? Obviously, we come to church. We're able to worship the Lord in a church service. We can worship the Lord in the car. We can worship the Lord through singing or through music in a variety of different ways. But the point is, we ought to do that. God invites us all to worship Him through singing. Our singing ought to continue through the good and the bad times. Consider the words in Psalm 100 and verse 2, that come before His presence with singing. Our singing can usher us into the presence of God. What else? Well, our singing not only brings us into His presence, but the Lord commanded that the church ought to sing. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The church was commanded to sing. Our singing ought to begin at the heart level. The continuing thought of that verse, Ephesians 5 verse 19, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Again, that's what we talked about. Music. It takes place at the heart level as well. Well, He gave us ears, right, and a mind, but it's not disassociated with the heart that He gave us, our inner core. The ability to sit in a service like this one, and when we're singing, because He lives, to be drawn ever so closer to the Lord in that moment. Why? Because music can be used in the worship of Almighty God. And it ought to be. And it's what He wants for the Christian. So to serve as a conduit for worship in our lives, our singing ought to be and take place at the heart level as well. And then you'll just notice in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, the Bible says, and when they sung a hymn, they went out. Boy, what's the example of the Lord Jesus? Well, here He is with His disciples in this moment of worship, where they're lifting their voices to the Lord. I think it's a great example for all of us. Say, do you think everybody at that table around Jesus was musical? Think they all had operatic voices? Probably not. Fishermen, and yet following the example of Jesus, lifting their voices in worship to the Lord. You say, what's the purpose of music in Scripture? I'm telling you, we see it from the Old Testament all the way through the New, and that is as a conduit to be able to worship Almighty God. And when we think of music, that's where we have to start. Lord, this is the way I can communicate with You. So what's the second purpose? Now, I see this. Obviously, our text is all centered around this worshipful experience here. They're lifting their voices, the instruments. Great preparation had been made in regards to this event. And certainly they're using music as a conduit to worship Him. But let me give you the second thing, and that is this: to simply support the plan of God in my life. Okay, now we're going to get into this just a little bit, but I see two purposes: to worship God, and then number two, to support the ongoing work of the Lord in my life. Again, now this is for the believer, right? This is for the believer who, what is our goal? Well, to be Christ-like. Consider the words of 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. I love this verse, and there are many others that we could use to give this very same point. But the Bible says, "We all, with open face, as beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So what is the goal for me as a believer in Christ? What is the goal for my kids as they've accepted the Lord as their Savior? What is the goal for Temple Baptist Church? Well, at our core, it's to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Boy, is that not the essence of the word Christian? Is that not the whole complete package when we think about Christian little Christ? Is that people would see me as a light to the world, and that they would be able to see me in the light that I am like Jesus. So that's the goal. So when I think about music and I think about the great tool that it is, I think about the fact that the purpose of music is to serve as a conduit for worship, but also to support the plan, the ongoing plan of God in my life. You know, there are a number of tools that the Lord has given us to help in this venue. You know, I think about our church. You know, when we come to church and we rub shoulders with one another, you know what that ought to do? That ought strengthen us, right? I mean, that ought motivate us more to live like Jesus. Boy, it's a tool the Lord has graciously given to us, the Christian community that we have here at Temple. I think about the tool of the Bible. We could never overstate this tool. James describes the Word of God as a mirror that reflects on our spiritual condition. And we see where the Bible is here, and we see where we're at here, and we say, oh, wait, yeah, I'm not on point. I need to come up. And so the Word of God is a tool in our lives. Boy, isn't the Holy Spirit of God a tool? Boy, never leaves us. Boy, those moments where, you know, I'm tired or I need to be ministered to, that Holy Spirit is speaking to me, whether it's I'm reading the Word of God or I'm sitting in a service like this one. The Holy Spirit, that's a tool the Lord's given us that's working on me. You know, I would just say this. I think that just the very same way the Lord given us these different tools, I think music, it's not only something He wants us to use to worship Him, but it's something that in turn affects me. If I could, just for a moment, grab my, I was worried somebody was going to take this out. I got my hammer up here. Actually, it's not mine. It's Brother David Pardee's. Don't tell him I have it, okay? It will get back there at some point. All right, so I've got a hammer here, and I think most of us here tonight would just say that, you know, hey, that's a constructive piece of material you got there. And, you know, that's the first thing that I think of when I see a hammer. All right, you know, I'm building something, I'm fortifying something, I need to go find my hammer, and I need to get that out and start swinging it. If for some reason, let's say that we wanted to fortify this pulpit a little bit, it was starting to deteriorate, and we just wanted to fix it up, but we didn't want to, you know, take it all apart. Well, we could take some boards, and we could put them up there, and, boy, we could just start wailing on them and sort of put it on each side and paint it and somehow make it look a little better. We serving its purpose, right? We're being constructive. And that's how music can be in our lives. I mean, I believe that music can be used to help us fight temptation. Boy, I'm telling you, when we get out in the workplace or we're out in the world or we're in a store and we're confronted with some type of temptation, man, I'll tell you, the Lord brings back scripture, but sometimes that scripture is wrapped in a song. Boy, that helps focus my mind where it needs to be. It's a constructive tool. You know, on the other side of things that we haven't talked much about yet is this can be used as a constructive tool, but it also can be used to deconstruct. And I often have. This past week, my dad and I had a project going at the house, and we've got this rule in our subdivision that if you're going to put something in the garbage can, or you're going to throw something away, it's got to fit in the garbage can. You just can't put it out by the curb. And so, we had this big old long thing, and I was like, okay, you know, we got to get the hammer. And we found the hammer and broke it in about 16 different pieces and threw it in the can, and they took it. It's a great thing. A tool that can be used for construction or demolition. And you know what? Music can be the very same in our life. Can it not be? I mean, it's a tool. It's been created by the Lord. It's been gifted to us. It has a purpose, and then we ought to use it to worship Him. But it also, as a tool, has the ability to fortify my Christian living in a way that I look like Christ. Or it can also have the adverse effect that it can cause destruction in my spiritual life. You know, having been a youth pastor in Florida and then now here at Temple, well, I've seen how music can play a part in the deconstruction of a teenage Christian's life. And sometimes that can take place in adults' lives as well, but we do ourselves a great disservice when we think that music is just a neutral thing. Well, it's just something that, you know, well, I just throw it on. Sometimes we don't realize the purpose that can be behind it. To serve as a conduit for worship, but to support the plan of God in my life. I want you to notice that third of all, and here we're turning a corner, moving towards the end of the message. But to go back to our text, we've noticed the producer of music. We've noticed the purpose of music. But now notice closing portions of verse 13 and 14. I want you to see the power of music tonight. Would you see this? Look at verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking of the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices and the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud. And even the house of the Lord, look at verse 14, so that the priests could not stand by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I want you to notice the power of music here for a moment. God's presence descended in a supernatural way into the temple here. And I can only imagine this must have been a very exciting time. But I'm not going to suggest this evening that Whenever we somehow break and hit the perfect note that the cloud's going to descend on Temple Baptist Church, that's not how it works, all right? And that's not what I'm saying, but I am saying that the music that was involved, the preparation that had been made for this awesome event, the speaking that would take place in the next chapter by Solomon, all of it was coming together in a way that the Lord was well pleased. The Bible says His presence began to fill the temple in a supernatural way. The thing I want us to understand tonight is that just as there is a producer of music and the fact that there is a purpose for music, understand tonight that there is power in music. I want to notice a couple of things. You say, Brother Scott, why do you think music is so powerful? Well, it has an unbelievable power to communicate with us. And how does it communicate? Well, I see on three levels here. Let me just give you these. What makes music so powerful? Notice the power was found in the words they sang. Well, what words were they singing here? I want you to see some of the words. We've already stated them already. It says the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. You say, why did this strike a note in their heart? Why was this significant? Because they had waited. They'd waited and waited so many years to build a house for God to dwell in. I mean, ever since they came out of Egypt and had their freedoms, and then you had the tabernacle, and of course, that was temporary, and it was small, and they'd tear it down, they'd pick it up as they would move, and then of course, David wanted to, but the Lord said, we're going to wait a little while, and then all of a sudden, Solomon gets it organized, and they have the temple. Boy, they'd waited so long, and what are they singing about? Well, what was the power invested in? It was in the words. These words were special words. For He is good, the Lord is good. And He is, His mercy, it extends through all generations. So we see, number one, the power of music is translated through the words that music entails. Wait, you've ever experienced this? Somebody gets up to sing and start thinking about the words a little bit, and all of a sudden the Lord begins to do something in your heart just a little bit. Maybe bring something to your mind, maybe something that happened last week or something you've been going through, and you just pause for a moment and you say, Lord, oh, this is just what I needed. Those words mean means something special to me. And the power of music is found in the fact that it is a form of communication, and certainly the words have a part in that. And so the words that encourage us ought to be just that. Our music ought to encourage us and feed our hearts. But notice that wasn't the only thing that was powerful. These words were, certainly. But notice the words they sang, but the notes they played. Now, I'm telling you, maybe when we get to heaven one day, the Lord will give us this. Right now, we have a 2-year-old daughter. She'll be 2 soon. And she has these storybooks that are musical. And so you as you flip through the pages, you push the musical button, and then you read the paragraph. The frustration I have with this is the paragraph is this long and the music is like that short. And so you have to keep pushing the button as you're reading the. And I'm telling you, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to one day open a Second Chronicles and push the songs that were being played? That'd be special. Okay, maybe the Lord will give us that in heaven. We don't really know the song that was being played, the tune that was being played, but we could probably guess it was a triumphant sound. I mean, we think about, you know, graduations, and we think about, you know, majestic, right? Everything's pushing towards a moment. There's a big moment, maybe the trumpets, 120 trumpets were here, and it's a big event. You'd imagine it was triumphant. What's happening here? Well, the music itself is all sending a message, not just the words. This was illustrated recently. We took a day trip with my folks, and when you have a young child, strategy is everything. And those of you who have young kids know all about this. When you take a day trip, you got to be thinking about, well, when's this child going to sleep? Because they do need sleep. When children don't get sleep, or at least mine, maybe yours are perfect, okay? But mine are definitely not. And when a little baby, 2 years old, doesn't get sleep, it gets bad. It just gets bad. So we're managing our time. And the idea was that on our way back from Lancaster, that's the perfect time for the baby to sleep. Well, we're getting closer to nap time. We go over nap time now, okay? We're well into the afternoon. And as long as we have food, we can just keep passing the food, and that seems to be okay. But she gets full. And so we all get in the car. The baby is just, you know, she's lost it. She's in total meltdown mode. And all we can think about is, Lord, would you please put this child to sleep so we can just, for the next 3 hours back to Leesburg, be able to sit in peace. And so we're in the car. And, do we have her passy? Yeah, we got her passy. All right. Do we have her lovey? And that's a stuffed animal. Long story. All right. Anyway, she's got the lovey, right? All right. Well, what else can we do here? Let's sing to her. Wait. We got the CD player. All right. We got an older vehicle. Okay. CD player. So we stick in some soft sacred choir music. Turn that on. Crying starting to get a little less. And before we know it, baby's asleep. You know, we're just excited. You know, it's finally stopped crying, right? So Felicity doesn't understand the words, okay? But the music was communicating, was it not? It was sending a message to her that was speaking louder almost than words themselves. And that's what makes music so powerful, whether it's the words or whether it's the kind of music. Boy, all of these things make music powerful. And then I'll just give you this, and then we're almost done. But notice not only the words they sang, the notes that were played, but the people playing them. You know what it says about the Levites here? It says that they had sanctified themselves. They purified themselves. You know, I believe that, especially when we minister to each other through music, I believe that when the life backs up what the message is saying, well, I believe that message just hits another level. Every Wednesday night, I'm blessed to be able to hear music from our young people. They volunteer to be on the schedule. It's a blessing. Some of them range from all experiences. Some are very young, 7th grade, 8th grade. They've not been taking piano long or singing long. Some are more experienced and finer tuned, we could say. But can I tell you this, that when I sit there and listen to that, whether it's this end of the scale or that end of the scale, when somebody gets up with just wanting to please the Lord in their heart and the life that backs it up, let me tell you, boy, that music takes on a whole nother form. It's powerful. I wonder how many of us tonight sort of misrepresent music a little bit. We don't give it the credit that it has in our lives or the effect that it can have. We recognize the power. And as we close things down, notice the priority of music. I'm going to take you back to verse number 1 and just show you that phrase one more time. Solomon, what did he do? The silver and the gold and all the instruments, what did Solomon do? He put among the treasures of the house of God. There's a big word right now that you hear if you read, and that's the word intentional. Sometimes you hear the phrase intentional parenting, right? It's the idea of being proactive, not being passive, sitting back, waiting for things to develop and then dealing with them. You know, when I think about music and the life of a believer and seeing the value, understanding the treasure that it can be, I think about that word intentional. I think about the priority that the Lord would have us place upon it. And I think about my own life, how sometimes that's not been the case. You say, Brother Scott, you sing, you're in the choir. But you know, there are times that instead of riding down the road and listening to the news, which most of the time is negative, well, I could put something in that's going to feed my spirit a little bit. There's value in music. I think Solomon understood that. That's why he put it with the treasures, the house of the Lord. I wonder tonight, do we recognize the treasure of music in the life of a believer? Heads bowed, nice close this evening. I appreciate you listening so intently tonight as we've talked through what I believe is to be a very important subject. We are so blessed here at Temple Baptist Church to have so many musicians. Temple Baptist School has a wonderful developmental program for instrumentalists. I would say that Temple Baptist Church is rich in a musical heritage. And that's a great blessing. But that didn't happen by accident. And certainly, seeing music as a treasure doesn't happen by accident in our homes. It's got to be purposeful. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for what you've shown us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would use this invitation time, Lord, to just help us to ask the question, Lord, maybe about how we're using music, Lord, how it affects us, how it's contributing to our walk with you. And Lord, offer everything on the altar because you are worthy. Bless our invitation time. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.